and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Just go with the throw. Just have a throw of the 1970s.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. A jam-packed celebrity hotline today. Representative Paul
Raul Grijalva. Stephanie.
Alva.
Did you practice?
We went over this yesterday.
Democrat of the great state of Arizona, Representative John Yarmuth, Democrat of the great state of Kentucky, and Lawrence Korb. He's a senior fellow, another one of those, you know.
Another senior fellow.
Yes. To talk about the situation in Iran and much more, StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State, on the situation in Iran and Twitter.
I wouldn't know a Twitter from a tweeter, but apparently it is very important. And I think keeping that line of communications open is an important expression of the right to speak out.
Well, yeah. You know who's going to get the Nobel Peace Prize? Ashton Kutcher, who is knee-deep in the Iranian situation
with
Twitter.
Twitter was supposed to be going down for a scheduled maintenance blackout for a couple of hours there. And people like Andrew Sullivan were like, hold on.
Yeah.
You can't be doing this during, you know, your most important hour and Iran's most important hour for Twitter.
Yeah. Hold, please.
Yeah.
Hold, please.
Please stand by
for its regularly scheduled maintenance.
Yeah, even the State Department was like, no, you can't be doing this.
And the revolution can wait.
That's why she was, you know, intervening there.
And then she immediately broke her elbow.
Yeah.
Ow.
That is weird. She broke her, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton broke her elbow.
She fell.
Ooh,
that's
geez.
What the story is. We don't know if it was a late night greeting to Bill. However, that this elbow, how long could that elbow hold on? It's been years of, you know.
Got a frying pan elbow. Yeah.
Anyway, yes, we wish her well. She's recuperating.
The frying pan has been passed to a new generation. I had Michelle wielding it yesterday.
That's exactly what it is. All right, the president on the economic reform.
We're proposing a new and powerful agency charged with what? Just one job, looking out for ordinary consumers.
Well, hey, there's something new. What?
Really?
Huh? Looking out for us, for heaven's sakes. All right. And also, by the way, the Republicans came out with their health care plan, Jim.
Uh-huh.
Guess what? No numbers again. There's nothing in there about how one might pay for it.
Our health care plan is a plan which will care for health.
It is. When do you get to it? It's just like the pretty shiny budget they did with no numbers in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've got a health care plan, because they've been criticizing how much the president's plan is going to cost. Yeah, no word. No word on that, exactly what
apparently,
their plan will cost.
Theirs will cost nothing.
Apparently, it will be zero. It will be a penny.
A shiny penny.
Prampy McSame, though, shooting spitballs at the president's plan.
It is a joke if we run through this stack of papers here without having some provision, and I suggest we not move forward until we have some provision as to how we're going to pay for it.
All right. Well, we will be talking much more about health care as we progress. All right. Jim, what's the deal? Keith Olbermann and Rachel Maddow's show both stole from us yesterday.
Yep.
I love both of them.
Yep.
We don't know that for a
fact.
Could be a coincidence.
It could be, but Rachel Maddow.
Jim said yesterday about the Letterman, the Fire Letterman protest.
Yesterday I said, there literally tens of people showed up for the... Keith last night said literally tens of people showed up for the Letterman protest.
I don't know. He might have gotten there on his own. You never know. Or,
yes, or
alternatively...
We're on in New York.
He might like to kiss me. He wants to date me.
And Rachel said what I said several days ago. This thing in Iran could turn out to be Tiananmen Square or the Berlin Wall. And there it was.
She's a Rhodes Scholar, though. She could
true.
Have, you know.
She might have come up with that. I don't know.
Exactly. All right. The Letterman protesters, I believe 40 is the top estimate. 40 people?
The top estimate,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I believe this
The pictures of it were just photoshopped with, you know, Harriet's head over and over and over and over again.
So
yes, more people were lining up for the kebab stand.
Yeah,
exactly.
There were more media there covering it than there were protesters.
Except John Ziegler, who split because he was like, I don't want to be associated with this pack of losers. Listener Ken in Cleveland, I believe this is a takeoff on the Angry Dozen. This would be the Hysterical Handful. Did you see Jim, the Fire Letterman protest? It was like 40 people.
Yeah, what a freak show that was.
Yeah.
Nobody in their right mind thought this joke was about the 14-year-old.
Keep children safe from David Letterman's mouth. He will rape them with his mouth. He is a verbal pedophile.
And I'm not going to shut my mouth anymore.
He's a pervert. He doesn't even like women.
I'm having hysteria because I'm hysterical. I can't stop when I get like this.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. That's hysteria.
Enough, I get the point.
At least Jay Leno had interesting people. This schmuck has nobody. You know what schmuck means in Jewish?
But he's offending to women, female sex. So
it's not about Sarah Palin. It's about mothers, daughters, and sexuality.
Speak for all women, or you're not speaking for any woman.
But since when does she speak for all women? Nobody asked me.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, listener. They did sound hysterical. Dear God.
He's raping creatures with his mouth.
Oof.
He's a mouth raper. Kill him. Kill him.
All right. So lots of big doings at the White House yesterday.
Where did they find these whack jobs?
Yeah.
The president signed an executive order granting some benefits to same-sex partners of federal employees yesterday. If only there was somebody that would... Huh?
Oh, hey.
Why, Jim, who is it?
From The Advocate, it's Carrie Ellefeldt.
What? She was there. Good morning, Carrie.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for coming on with us this morning.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
So you were there. You were in the room when President Obama signed the federal partners. Now, is it me or it seems like there's becoming really a lot of growing anger in the gay community? Even though this is a good thing, it seems sort of like not the most important thing, doesn't it?
Yeah, no doubt. There are many people who are very upset. They feel that something like this should have happened maybe within the first few weeks. Of the administration, and now, you know, a lot of people have a sense that they're sort of, the administration is sort of catching up, and, you know, but they feel like it's sort of throwing a bone, right?
Because I said that yesterday. Yeah. Yep. I said it has the feeling of throwing them a bone, you know?
Right, right. But having said that, I still think it's an important step. I mean, I think it's an acknowledgement that the administration is looking at things and saying, wait a second, I think we've got a problem here. You know, let's do something. And it may be at this point too little, but it's not too late for them to move forward and come through with some bigger things. Now, that's going to take a lot of work, and we're not seeing much action on things like repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the, you know, military gay ban or
things that, you know, by the way, right, Carrie, and things that, by the way, there's already huge public support for. There's been a sea change since this, you know, ridiculous policy went into effect, Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So, I know that I heard, you know, some gay leaders yesterday saying, you know, this is great, and that's great news for the tiny amount of people that are actually federal employees. But, you know, even that, I'm told that it's not even health benefits.
No, it doesn't include health benefits. And really, the big hurdle to health benefits is that is the Defense of Marriage Act, which was passed in 1996, or signed into law in 1996, I should say. And it prohibits the federal, it does two things, really. It prohibits the federal government from recognizing marriages that aren't between a man and a woman. And it also prohibits, or it allows other states not to recognize state marriages performed legally in other states. So Alabama doesn't have to recognize a same-sex marriage performed in Massachusetts, even though it was legal.
Mm-hmm.
So it sort of, you know, gets past the whole full faith and credit clause of the Constitution. But the interesting thing, I think, about this presidential memo, as they're calling it, that he signed yesterday, is that every time I talk to a mainstream journalist about this, as soon as I tell them it didn't include health benefits, they say, well, then what's the point? Because every average American thinks of benefits as being health benefits, right? And so I think what this does is to highlight highlight the need to really go after the Defense of Marriage Act, because the Defense of Marriage Act is like sort of a cancer that eats away at any sort of relationship recognition between same-sex couples.
Well, that's a different take on it, Carrie. Do you think that's why he did it? Is to, I mean, well, listen to the president yesterday. We have him.
Among the steps we have not yet taken is to repeal the Defense of Marriage Act. I believe it's discriminatory. I think it interferes with states' rights, and we will work with Congress to overturn it.
What was your reaction to that?
Well, I was very glad to hear him bring up DOMA, as people call it, within the context of what he was doing there. And for him to say that it interferes with states' rights was, I feel like, one of the first acknowledgments that the federal government is actually prohibited by DOMA from recognizing what states are saying they legally want to do. So there's six states where gay couples can legally marry in, right? And DOMA actually prevents the federal government from being able to recognize those marriages. So he actually acknowledged there that it interferes with states' rights, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very important.
Well, is the gay community, Carrie, buying, you know, the White House's assertion here that, because obviously it was very hurtful to a lot of gay people that, you know, to have their relationships compared to incest, you know, in the White House's you know, legal brief about DOMA. So, but I know their position is obviously it needs to be changed through Congress. How does the gay community feel about that?
Well, it's a very complicated issue. I mean, I think, look, I've done a lot of reporting on this. My general feeling is that it would have been very rare for to the Justice Department not to defend a you know, congressional law. Having said that, the language in the brief was very offensive. Many people just thought it was beyond the pale. And, you know, you can get lawyers to disagree on that, but, you know, as lawyers always do. And what seems clear to me is that that brief wasn't sort of vetted at the highest levels for sort of what political impact it would have had. In other words, they may have decided we have to defend the law, but it didn't seem that someone at the highest levels, maybe a policy advisor within the White House, went through that brief and said, oh, this is really going to, you know, raise some eyebrows.
Right.
So,
Carrie,
but I do,
it seems like, you know, I mean, Howard Dean has talked about this, that it just, it does seem odd for such this, you know, new generation presidency that they seem, you know, he was saying sort of behind the times. You know, there's people already getting married in Iowa, you know, and in terms of DOMA, don't ask, don't tell, they're like, oh, here's some benefits for the tiny amount of federal employees, you know.
Yeah, I mean, as Richard Socarides, a former Clinton aide, said on Anderson Cooper 360s last night, here people are getting married in Iowa and the president is talking about hospital visitation. I mean, there is a point at which people are going to start asking, even within the administration, boy, is President Obama's views and his policies and his positions right now a little anachronistic? I mean, are they just really out of sync with what's going on?
And, Carrie, I think that, you know, you can certainly be a huge supporter of the president like I am and still feel you need to put pressure on this administration. I mean, and I think people understand he has a lot on his plate. But I don't know if you've heard, but two prominent gay figures, David Mixner and Andy Towle, the blogger, they pulled out of a DNC fundraiser because he said, I will not attend a fundraiser for the National Democratic Party in Washington when the current administration is responsible for these kind of actions, meaning the DOMA ruling. He said, how will they ever take us seriously if we keep forking over money while they harm us? I'm so tired of being told by Democratic operatives to suck it up because so many other profound issues are at stake. Is that a widespread feeling in the gay community? Or
I think really, you know, people from people who are these big donors, as well as people who are the grassroots and knocked on doors, think we not only worked so hard to get this president into office, we also worked hard to get congressional majorities that would allow us to push our movement forward. And now they're saying, well, we got a lot of other stuff to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's a sense that's pervasive among many, many different people from all walks of life within the LGBT community and even just straight allies who think, wow, you know, we just can't allow this group of people not to have their rights anymore.
Carrie, I was going to say quickly before you go that even the benefits yesterday, this still needs to be, Congress still needs to pass this, right? It's the Lieberman-Baldwin Domestic Partnership Benefits and Obligations Act that for full benefits to be extended to domestic partners of federal workers, right?
Yes, in order to get health and, you know, health benefits and retirement benefits, I would add that if DOMA were undone, no, these little hurdles, all these little smaller things that have smaller, you know, pieces of legislation that are sort of piecemeal ways of getting to a solution to relationship recognition, if the Defense of Marriage Act were undone, none of those would be necessary.
I was just going to say, yeah, it would make it unnecessary. Well, I'm glad the president spoke out. I suppose, you know, it's at least it's a first step, correct?
It is a first step, and I think now the next step is to see congressional action. I mean, it's to actually see bills introduced to undo the Defense of Marriage Act in both the House and the Senate.
Yep. Carrie Elleveld, rockin' reporter for The Advocate, thanks so much for taking time for us so early. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right, there she goes. Carrie Elleveld.
Yay!
She's good.
She is good.
And now we can tell you the behind the scenes that she thought this interview was for the evening. So we were in producer talk stretching a little bit in the opening segment.
Yes, a little
scrambling.
Yes, you heard that listener Ken in Cleveland bit before you were supposed to.
That was magically pulled the curtain.
Yes.
From behind the Stephanie Miller newscast. All right, 21 minutes.
I was running down the hall like Joan Cusack in broadcast news.
I shouldn't even have mentioned it. That was seamless. 21 minutes after the hour. Back with our thoughts and yours on this on the gay benefits story as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my. How ruthlessly absurd.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 26 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Charles in Los Angeles on the gay benefits ceremony yesterday at the White House. Hello, Charles.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, I want to straighten out some gay people.
All right then.
Don't ask, don't tell. Okay, you got a situation where we got our troops in Muslim countries, right? Mm-hmm. I'm sure Al-Qaeda would love it if Obama repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And they could call our troops sodomites. And
Charles, British troops are also there, and they allow gays in their military.
Lots of members of the coalition have...
is the big thing over there.
Do you believe Ahmadinejad, that the homosexuality does not exist in Iran?
I don't want to diffuse the conversation. I want to talk about our troops.
Do you believe him? He says they don't have that there. Do you think that's true?
Oh, they got it everywhere. I mean, it exists in every country, right?
Yes.
But if our government sanctions it, says it's okay to do that over there, you're going to have some backlash.
Okay to do that?
Muslim countries might suddenly not like us? Is that what you're saying?
Well, do that, I mean sodomy. That's what I'm talking about.
There's a lot of heterosexual sodomy going on over there, too, you know.
Mm. Yeah, but there's a lot of health risk out there in the battlefield. But the thing is, if that can be used by those clerics over there.
All right. Thank you, Charles. I don't know why I would think unnecessarily bombing a country and killing hundreds of thousands of people.
Well, that's fine. But as long as you don't have any gay on you. Whatever. Yeah. Icky.
28 minutes after the hour, Representative Grijalva.
Raul Grijalva.
Coming up next on the Celebrity Hotline on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You're scaring me. I'm beginning to think you're losing your grip on reality.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Well, the healthcare debate, as we mentioned, is heating up, particularly with the introduction of the Republicans' new plan.
Any facts in there at all?
No. There appears to be no numbers of any kind, just like their budget. Ah, if only there were some sort of expert on this that could tell us. Yeah, what?
Oh,
why,
hey.
Who is it, Jim?
It's co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus from the great state of Arizona, Representative Raul Grijalva.
him. Good morning, Congressman.
How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for taking time for us.
No problem.
Now, you are a co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, and I have, you know, this is the one issue that I don't understand. You look at the polls, and overwhelmingly, people want a single-payer system, which is not even on the table, correct?
Correct. We have, not only the caucus, but the progressive caucus have fought really hard to make sure that the concept of single payer stays on the table. But, you know, the forces that have been aligned against the concept are the same forces that defeated any effort that the Clintons tried to do, any
right.
other progressive effort that's ever been tried in terms of extending affordable health coverage to everybody. And so they're aligned again. And,
you know, in fact, I heard, was it Judd Gregg yesterday, Senator Gregg, throwing around Hillary Care again. Oh, this is Hillary Care Plus, or,
exactly.
or you know, I mean, like trying to actually get some meaningful health care reform in this country is a bad thing, right?
Yeah, we're paying one out of every $5 we're paying now for health care. In 30 years, it'll be one of every $3 that we spend in this country is going to go to health care. It's the most expensive system in the world. We still have 50 million people uninsured, 50 million underinsured, and we're still talking about how we're going to let the private industry conduct health care reform. It's if we go down that path, nothing will change,
yep.
and we'll still be in the situation that we are now, except much more in a much more unhealthy position for our people 10 years from now.
Congressman, you sent a letter to Nancy Pelosi pointing out the overwhelming majority of your 80-member caucus prefer a single-payer approach, warning that you will oppose any health care legislation that does not provide at least a public option. And what you said in the letter makes such good sense. Americans deserve health care that favors patients over health insurance companies. I think it's that simple. They were given decades to control costs, improve quality, increase access, but they've failed. At a minimum, we need to give them real competition in the form of a robust public plan that puts patients first. What is so hard for our Republican friends to understand about that?
It's the concept of a public plan. A public plan that would be the first cornerstone to universal health care. We know that, and they know that. And I think it's opposition to the idea of universality, but it's also the private sector. This is the healthcare sector is one of the most profitable industries that we have in this country. And if they're willing to give up $2 trillion to when they met with Obama in order to help healthcare loss, why didn't they do that 2 years ago, 4 years ago, 6 years ago? The point I'm making is that without a public plan, that is competitive, consumer-driven, publicly responsive, then many of us are going to have are not going to be able to vote for health care reform absent that. And it's as simple as that, because otherwise we're just putting a different lipstick on the same.
Yep. Well, which is, I don't know if you've seen much about the Republican plan, but I'm trying to be fair-minded, because I understand this is a complicated debate, Congressman, right? And, you know, people can, good people can disagree on what the best way to achieve this is. But the Republican plan, first of all, has no details about how much their plan would cost. How do you start with that?
Well, I think it's, their plan is an obstruction.
Right.
I mean, when all is said and done, they will be voting no, regardless.
Right.
And so,
this is because they're, I think, afraid, Congressman, of this party of no plan. They're like, oh, we have a plan, but it's like it isn't. How is it a plan when you can't? They're bitching about how we're paying for ours, and they're not even telling us how much theirs costs.
And it's not even an alternative you can debate.
Right.
And so I think the task, really, Stephanie, is within the Democratic caucus
mm-hmm.
to come to some consensus. To support a public option, we're going to be the ones that are responsible for this reform. And while bipartisanship is a wonderful thing, the pattern so far, everything has been that this is going to be a no Republican Party. I would just assume it's going to be a no on health care reform and begin to work out the intricacies within our own caucus
mm-hmm.
and come up with a strong plan.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Howard Dean said that the other day, that, look, you know, at this point, we're getting no votes from Republicans on anything. We don't need them on this. Americans, like you say, overwhelmingly want significant health care reform. I'm looking at this Republican plan, Congressman. The only thing I see in here is it allows for dependents to stay on their parents' health plans till they're 25 and provides a small business tax credit to employers who offer health care. That's it? And no word on how much it's going to cost. I mean, how is that something like you say that you can even debate?
And if you look, there's nothing really said about the uninsured. There's nothing said about the health disparities that exist in this country. There's nothing said about controlling cost. There's nothing said about quality of care. Those are the issues we're confronting. We're not,
right.
and I consider their plan just to be a paper tiger.
Right. Exactly. I'm not an expert, but it strikes me as someone on the Titanic going, oh, there's a little hole. Let me put some chewing gum in that. You know, hey, healthcare is kind of a lot bigger problem than it's going to be solved with, you know, two ideas like that, right?
Well, like I said, it's an obstruction tool. It has nothing to do with trying to deal with this issue.
And, Congressman, here's the problem. Is we have people like, you know, our friend Sean Hannity, who, how can you debate something when they keep putting out misinformation like this?
This is going to cost the taxpayers at least $1 trillion. Bloomberg says $600 billion in tax increases. 36 million Americans will still remain uninsured, and 23 million Americans will literally have to give up. They'll be forced to give up the insurance they currently have.
Yeah.
When you say it's a public option, how is that going to force people to give up their current insurance?
It doesn't. It's a choice.
Thank you.
And it is the most free market, I think, the saber rattling will go on from Sean and the rest of them. The fact remains that this is the most capitalistic free market tool. You have a choice, consumer.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have a robust public plan, people will choose the public plan, and that's okay. Competition is what supposedly is the cornerstone of our system. Let's have healthy competition. The private industry has had it their way, and they've monopolized this healthcare. And now we're saying give the public option the opportunity to be competitive and to provide the consumer with a choice.
Yep, absolutely. Representative Raul Grijalva, thanks so much for taking time for us, and we appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right, there we go. I know I mangled his name at the end.
Grijalva. There was a pronunciation guide up on the screen there.
I did it fast so he wouldn't notice.
Grijalva.
Dr. Flung? Tim and Madison, good morning.
Good morning.
Listen, I could have had Tom Brokaw introduce him.
Stop it. He was great.
You know, I'm looking at the president with... I supported the president the whole way, and I think a lot of the gay community has supported him the whole way, and I think it's about time that we're actually standing up for something that we've been... a person we've been supporting for a long time, and nothing is getting done that we've been wanting to get done with all these, the money that the community has thrown at politicians that said that they're going to stand up for our rights and try to get things passed, and we've been sitting in the background for years and years and years, and nothing really getting done. Because we've been told that
there's more
important things. There's always more important things.
Right. Well, it's like any civil rights. It's like, oh, it's, you know, not now. But, I mean, you know, it is at least better that he did that yesterday than he didn't. I mean, it's a positive step, but I know what you mean.
It doesn't do really anything. It still has to go through Congress. Why do it? Why actually just waste the time, have a huge ceremony, say this is what I want done?
Well, no, exactly. It's, you know, when you've got...
We could have gone up there and just said this is what we need to get done.
When you already have people in Iowa getting full equal rights, and then you're like, here, this handful of federal employees can have some benefits.
My partner's a federal employee.
Uh-huh.
Now, I would love to have his health care, but I can't have his health care. If we had a child, okay, that would be great. We could actually get child care, anything like that, but still, it's not helping now.
Yeah, his hands were tied, though, with the health care. He could not offer health care because of the Defense of Marriage Act, and that's why... Yeah.
That just needs to go.
Right,
but Tim, that's why I'm hoping that this reporter from The Advocate is correct, that maybe that's why he did this. It starts the debate for meaningful change in Congress, you know. DOMA, and he did say something about DOMA needing to be overturned, so...
But you have the DNC and you have other people, the DNC holding rallies and trying to do donation things and stuff like that around the country right now. And quite frankly, I know a lot of people in this community in Madison, Wisconsin, where a lot of us are just saying, we're not going to go. What's the point? We've been giving you money for years and years and years, and nothing's being done. And I think that's what we need to do.
Well, you know why? Because you...
things and not giving money anymore, because then maybe things, they'll realize, oh, crap.
I hear you.
We're not giving gay money anymore, and they've got, you know...
Tim, you know why? Because the people in Madison, you're spending your gay money on the black magic.
Madison, Wisconsin, where we expect those people to be communing with Satan up there in the Madison, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
I commute with Satan every day.
Thank you.
It's like kind of like year five, we have the Beltline.
That's commuting with Satan.
That's commuting.
Yes.
And that's not communing. Okay, 44 minutes after the hour. All right, now we've opened up the can of healthcare worms. We will get into that next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I know it's a tad silly, but the crew really likes it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Ha! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Wow! Thank God all our congresspeople, senators, people in the cabinet have that fancy public health insurance.
Why?
Because all the president's women are breaking, as you know.
Oh.
Hillary Clinton broke her elbow yesterday. Sonia Sotomayor broke her ankle.
Yes.
And someone on the live blog writes.
Oh, no. Wonkette writes, look out, Janet Napolitano. You're next.
It's like Unbreakable. That's the Samuel Jackson movie.
What?
Who's next? Okay, accidents. Accidents happen, bones break.
Yeah, the headline I won't get is, why is Obama trying to kill all his important ladies?
Mike, and that'll be on some right-wing blog.
Guys, accidents.
Yeah, that'll be on a blog today on the right wing. Mike in Chicago.
Hello.
All
these GOP members who are against the government-run single-payer plan. Question, how many of them hate the government-run health care that they have and have opted out and paid for their own private insurance?
I don't know. Now, oh, you're talking about, yeah, exactly. Give up your fancy public plan and then we'll,
yeah.
Oh, you know, in fact, I was on Ed Schultz the other day on MSNBC and some, I forget who it is, Democratic congressman has. He has given up his insurance until everybody has it, which, you know.
Wow.
And Ed said, you challenge everybody to do it, every other congressperson to do it. He said, yes. Yeah, just shut your trap about not having a public plan while you're on yours.
Yeah, shut your biscuit hole.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's the, Congressman from New York. But anyway, it's very brave. Good for him. He said, yeah, I declined it.
He's probably rich, so he can afford his own health care.
Oh, now, come on.
Well, I mean...
He took a stand.
Yeah, I know, but it's kind of an empty stand.
Red in Humboldt, California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi. I just wanted to perhaps set the record straight and maybe get you guys to help. Once again, the crooks have been allowed to frame the debate. Everybody's saying health care, health care, health care. What we're actually talking about here is health insurance. And as long as we're talking about insurance, we're still putting money in the hands of the crooks. I personally think that insurance is the wrong way to go. I'm not sure what the right way to go is, but I know that making it single payer one way or another is definitely a much better system than leaving it in the hands of private companies and letting them run our government about it.
Our congressman that we just had on just said that. Raul Grijalva. Exactly.
What's so difficult?
But he said, you know, in his letter to Nancy Pelosi, he said, look, they've had years to... That's what I mean. Like, what do the Republicans think? They're just magically going to... Yeah, the financial markets will just regulate themselves finally. the insurance companies, they'll just suddenly be fair.
The insurance companies make their money by denying people coverage. That's what they do.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not going to cover you. You're going to get sick. Are we going to make a profit? Hey, it's called health insurance, not sickness insurance. Duh.
Gordon,
want to insure healthy
it means you
people.
Get it if you have health. Gordon in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you. I need your help, guys. What do I say to
What's somebody? With all you people that need our help this morning? We can't help you.
Well, I'm not that I'm a parrot, but I cannot provide a good, intelligent answer to when we're sitting around debating this whole thing at work. One guy always says to me, well, listen, I understand about the program, Obama's health care program and all that, but don't you realize that once companies realize the government can fill in the gap, they're going to start dropping the programs that they offer? For instance, our company, we offer, you know, you get a PPO through Blue Cross Blue Shield. He's saying to me, well, listen, once our company realizes the government can fill in those gaps, they're going to stop offering those programs. And I don't really have an intelligent answer other than, hey, that won't happen, will it? What do you guys say to that? How can you help me out? Give me a good solid answer to counter that fear.
All right. He'll take my answer off the air. No further questions. You know, that's the problem. I don't have a crystal ball. Many of this is above my pay grade.
Still barely understand what single-payer health care is.
Exactly. I had to call you the other day. How is that different than just the public option?
Just before you were going to go on the Ed show,
you need to know your stuff if you're going on with Ed.
Yeah.
Because he's all about the single-payer. I was like, what if he asked me something hard? It was like the first time I was ever on Larry King. I remember he had, like, former Attorney General Dick Thornburg, and I'm like, did I get booked by accident? What if he asked me something really hard?
Well,
all right. Do you guys have an answer for that?
I mean, if the insurance companies aren't making money off of denying people health coverage anymore, maybe they'll just get out of the business, and we'll have a de facto
insurance companies should basically be nonprofits. You know, if they're going to be privately held,
I think the whole point of it is to make them compete, obviously, right?
Absolutely.
You know, that's to offer people an option so that they have to get their act together. That's
absolutely.
You know, that's my rudimentary understanding of it.
And that's pretty good, Stephanie. You get a participation ribbon.
John Fugel sang, our buddy, our pal, comedian extraordinaire.
Who will be in with us on Friday.
Hey. But that's what he said. It's like every new issue that comes up, suddenly we comedians have to be, I don't know, experts in the International Monetary Fund. Healthcare, and for the love of God. All right, Ellen in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. I think that the idea of single payer is another one of those issues that they've cooked up to scare the majority of Americans into thinking that someone's going to take away some liberty that they don't have.
Right, but Ellen, despite all the right-wing fear-mongering on that, then why do the polls still show that a majority of Americans want it? For all their talk about, you know, socialism and government takeover and yada yada, you know, seem to be smarter than that.
I think absolutely, because those of us who have private pay insurance or through our work know that it's single payer too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the determining factor on whether or not you get a particular amount of health care is your insurance company. Well, you know, I kind of just assume trust my government to be the single payer for my health care as I do, you know, one of these companies. And, I mean, I have a plan right now where if I go to the doctor and he orders blood tests, I can't immediately go do that because I've got to check around and look it up and go online and figure out.
I know, Ellen, isn't that ridiculous? I mean, the one thing I understand is things that are, you know, voluntary, plastic surgery, something. But, I mean, anything else that involves you being sick, why should that have to be such a struggle? You're right, going, ooh, I wonder if they'll cover this, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, because there are levels of health care, and the only people who really have medical choice are the really wealthy.
Yep,
right. Yep, absolutely.
And that's the bottom line. So what we ought to be talking about, I think, is what is a basic health care package? We shouldn't have to negotiate over whether or not you get chemotherapy. You shouldn't have to deal with whether or not you get health care if you lose your job.
Ellen. What kind of system is that? No, you don't get chemo. You don't have that much cancer. It's only a little. I mean, it's really...
Republicans keep saying that we have the greatest health care system in the world. Yeah, if you have access to it. And the insurance
and
company's
if you have a lot of money.
Is to deny people access to it.
That's I told you not that long ago, drug-addled gas bag Rush Limbaugh saying, well, maybe we don't should have insurance at all. People just should, you know, that'll bring costs down. People pay for whatever they can afford.
They should just die. Poor people should just die.
Well, it's
easy
more
food for me.
He has a $400 million contract. Easy for you to say. Yeah. Just pay for whatever you can afford. And there you have it.
For God's sake, just die.
That's exactly. The Republican plan.
Yeah.
And we still don't know how much that's going to cost us.
No, we don't.
We don't even know how much it's going to cost us to die in their plan.
In funeral costs alone.
We don't even know.
No.
The boner gave us no numbers.
Our plan is just to insure people who are healthy and let the people die.
57 minutes after the hour. Uh-oh.
What?
Another Lindsay Lohan report in Tinsel Talk next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. A jam-packed celebrity hotline. This hour, Representative John Yarmuth, Democrat of the great state of Kentucky. And next hour, Lawrence Korb, who is a senior fellow.
Yes.
We like them.
I think he'd like you to call him Larry.
At the Center for American Progress to talk about the situation in Iran and much more.
And he was the former Assistant Secretary of Defense under Ronald Reagan.
That's
boy,
right.
Howdy. We are fancy.
Yes,
StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LeBoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Robert Gibbs, White House press secretary on the situation in Iran.
I think the president has been clear that this is a vigorous debate in Iran between Iranians about their leadership. While at the same time, the president has strongly maintained that there are universal principles, such as demonstrating in peace and not feeling threatened.
Hmm. By the way, Sean Hannity says the president is meddling. Iran is not meddling, and Iran says he is. So which is it? Sean Hannity apparently pro-meddling.
Oh, okay.
All right. The president on economic reform yesterday.
It is an indisputable fact that one of the most significant contributors to our economic downturn was a unraveling of major financial institutions and the lack of adequate regulatory structures to prevent abuse and excess.
Huh? I thought that they'd magically regulate themselves if we didn't, just like the insurance companies, will magically make things better in healthcare if we do nothing.
Invisible hand of the free market,
mm-hmm. Yes.
Which has been giving us the finger for some time now.
Exactly. All right, Senator Barbara Mikulski on the healthcare debate.
This bill has just been accused of being somewhere or another a combination between Rube Goldberg and Karl Marx. However, our current system is a combination of Adam Smith, Darth Vader, and the invasion of the body snatchers. So I like our plan better.
Oh, she's lovely. I love her.
Okay. Would you like a Stephanie Miller Show fun fact? We've already been pulling the curtain back on the Stephanie Miller Show all morning. Why not? Here is a fun fact about the Stephanie Miller Show regarding Senator Barbara Mikulski. She's the only senator or congressperson.
Yes.
That has ever declined to return to the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes. Wow.
By
what
saying
did you say to her?
Simply, she didn't enjoy me. She didn't enjoy me at all.
Oh, yeah, last time. Yeah, you know, she was on like 4 years ago, I think.
Yes.
And
that was it. It was a one-time appearance.
Yeah. And
she's the only person who was ever honest, though. She's like, I didn't enjoy it, and I'm not coming back.
Yeah.
Slam. She slammed down the 1940s telephone, and she's been on the fainting couch ever since. All right. I don't even remember what I said. You think at least if it was something spectacularly offensive.
It wasn't. It was a pretty mundane interview, if
exactly.
I remember correctly.
Exactly. She found me mundane and inadequate, and that's it. Huh. She will not be back. Harumph. All right. But I'm on her side politically.
Absolutely. I actually really
do
like her.
I do too.
We apologize, Senator
Perhaps
Mikulski.
Perhaps I run into her in person someday and jolly her up again.
Perhaps
see if I can get her back on.
Perhaps you tried to find solidarity with your Polish heritage and told a Polish joke, which she did not
maybe,
appreciate.
Maybe. Maybe I did the what do you find when you look up a Polak's nose? Fingerprints or something like that. Like,
yeah,
here, have a pierogi.
See, you're...
Yeah, I won't be coming back. Thank you. It's been wonderful.
Okay.
Don't ever call me.
All right. My mom's original maiden name was Pushy Stylo. Pushy nothing.
Stylo.
Got nothing from the senator. Okay. All right. Eric in Ohio. Oh, a lot, some people have speculated whether I am sleeping with Hal Sparks, to which I say I don't really know.
Hal would like that.
I don't. Am I? I don't know.
Hal would really like that.
I'm drunk, as you know, much of the time, so I don't think I am, but I don't really know. Eric in Ohio, however, staff thought you'd like to know what would be in Hal Sparks' thought bubble during your date.
Uh-oh.
By the way, Hal will be filling in for us on vacation a week after next.
Yes. All week long. It should be
he
great.
He is delightful.
Yes.
And if I could remember if I'm sleeping with him, I would tell you how he is in bed. However, Eric says this was what would be in Hal Sparks' thought bubble during my date. Number 10, we haven't even ordered and she's already drunk. Number 9, that's the worst Katharine Hepburn impression I've ever heard. What? Number 8, Oliver's a stupid name for a dog. Oh, how dare you.
Well.
Number 7, Attica, Attica, Attica. Number 6, I wonder what David Letterman would say about her. Number 5, she looked like she had boobs in the studio. Number 4, I'm missing the hills for this. Number 3, I wish she'd stop rubbing her hammer toe on my leg. Number 2, being waterboarded by Cheney is looking better all the time. Number 1, at least she's picking up the check. All right, thank you, Eric. My house sparks neat. All right, kids, let's check some entertainment news, shall we? Here we go.
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, I forgot. By the way, someone sent me a new future husband.
Oh.
This would be me. Woman cancels wedding after finding out fiancé was a porn star.
Oh, dear.
Listen how she found out. A friend organizing her bachelorette party searched online for a male stripper for the party and spotted Jason with a woman in a porn movie.
Oh,
so
dear.
So they were going to hire him as a stripper because he's a porn star. She's like, wait a minute, that's my...
Well, that's economical. The groom is also the stripper.
Yeah.
The bachelor party.
Exactly.
So, okay.
Well, you know, Hal has had some pretty graphic sex scenes on Queer as Folk.
He certainly has.
So...
We'll talk to him about next time he's in. All right. Our top story, it's something right out of Psycho. New York man charged with impersonating his dead mother.
Oh, yeah.
I hate when that happens.
Irene Prusik has been dead for 6 years, but in April, someone showed up at the DMV in Brooklyn to renew her driver's license. The explanation given by prosecutors rivals the Hitchcock classic Psycho. It was her son in drag. Thomas Parkin, 49, was charged in a bizarre plot to impersonate his deceased mother so he could collect $117,000 in government benefits. We have the court.
Counsel, how does the witness plead?
Not guilty by reason of insanity, Your Honor.
No, mother, blood! No, blood!
Counsel, please restrain your client. And why is he wearing a dress?
No, no, I tell you. I won't have you bringing some young girl in for supper, by candlelight, suppose, in the cheap erotic fashion of young men with cheap erotic minds.
Mother, please.
And I want my $117,000. And I will not hide in the fruit cellar. I will not speak of disgusting things because they disgust me.
Shut up! Shut up!
And I will not take another driving test. I can parallel park like nobody's business.
Your Honor, the defense rests.
Yeesh, not a minute too soon.
And who tied and made you, Mr. Blackwell? That rope may be black, but it's definitely not slipping, lard-ass.
Bailiff, please restrain the witness, if you know what I mean.
How about a salad every once in a while, bubble butt?
Thank you, Your Honor.
My pleasure.
Oh, dear.
In my chambers for margaritas.
Finally.
Wow.
Oh, heavens. Heavens. And finally, as her name again crops up in the news, Lindsay Lohan, this time over a Scotland Yard investigation, a jewel heist.
Scotland Yard?
A jewel heist?
Into some $400,000 worth of missing Dior jewels after a photo shoot. She thought no one would notice, I guess. Lindsay Lohan's terminally on-again, off-again relationship with Samantha Ronson has now hit an ultimate dead end.
And on-again, off-again relationship with reality.
Exactly.
Sam let Lindsay back into her life as a friend, but now even a friendship sees impossible, according to a source. No matter how many times she promises to change, Lindsay loses control and starts acting like a maniac.
Well, this out is
on
news?
Out on the floor. Lohan's antics include twittering nude photos of herself to the press.
Hello.
And long hours of partying in L.A. and New York.
How come we're not on that press release list?
That's why I don't Twitter, because that...
How come I wasn't invited to those parties?
God knows what I would Twitter after a box of wine. All right.
Oh, God.
We have, for some reason, Kim Jong-il on this story.
K to the J to the I, A, in the hissy. Oh, Rinzi, you poor little leftover lesbian. Come to the arena and lose yourself in my voluptuous loving. I know what it feels like to be left all alone. Believe me, I feel abandoned like nobody else. First come the reason to decide she's going back to Stanford. Now no matter how I saber-rattle and go boo, I've got nuclear stuff here. Be afraid. Big typo down here. Here is still not giving me a tumble. So I'm just as sad as you. So come to the random rag of urine and ride in one of my many AMC Pacer. You're never gonna regret it because really good things come in really small packages. Of course, my package isn't really small.
Right.
just by comparison to a cataract, for instance, or the colossus of roads. Speaking of roads, Cara, why don't you hook up with that stone fox, Rachel Maddow? We could have a round-the-table discussion about the nuclear proliferation. Because I'm a maniac, maniac on the floor. I'm so crazy I might start a nuclear war. I love lesbians! Keep out.
What does he love?
Lesbians!
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends. If you'd like more Jim Ward, fall to roll.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal but True. There's a tile ad on the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com.
Boy, howdy. All right. I don't know. Kim Jong-il singing Maniac just tickled my funny bone. I want to see him dump the glass of water on himself in the ripped sweatshirt.
Oh, I could leave the sweatshirt underneath the jumpsuit. Because I'm a maniac, maniac on the dance floor.
He has the man boobs. I want to see him take the bra off under the ripped sweatshirt.
I got a body double for the dancing. Like a Jennifer Beal.
I don't think I've ever seen that movie.
Oh!
I was too young to see it.
You're fired.
All right.
What?
David the Hoff to you, David Hasselhoff, moving to Britain for a new reality show. He and his daughters will take part in outdoor pursuits of the British kind, such as polo and shooting and, I assume, late-night hamburger eating. And, yeah. I don't know.
Whatever!
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, heavens. Okay. Billy Joel has told his young wife to take a hike. How young, you ask? Well, he's 60 and she is,
what?
27.
Oh, well, she's getting long in the tooth. 27? My God, what a hag.
Well, that, and apparently she is someone else.
Apparently she's only a year or two older than his daughter, Alexa. So
oh, dear.
Now she's dating someone who couldn't possibly be her father.
She's apparently, she's dating someone else, which is a romance killer right away.
Yeah.
However,
bit of a bust
fun fact about Billy Joel.
What?
He wrote "I Love You Just the Way You Are" about his first wife, and then he left her for Christy Brinkley. So he didn't mean exactly the way you are. He means the way you are if you were more like a supermodel.
Classy with a K.
Which I'm now going to dump you for.
I love you just the way... Never mind.
All right. Michelle Pfeiffer does not want to be called a cougar. She hates that term, Jim. So
don't call her a cougar.
I won't call her that in bed next time.
All right, Michelle. That's a promise. Jim Ward to you.
I'm way too old for her, apparently.
I think David E. Kelly would have some words with you as well.
Well, there's that.
Yeah.
I love her take on plastic surgery. She says, well, I think your face should still move, and you should be recognizable to your friends.
Yes.
She said, one actress I knew years ago, a really lovely person, had some stuff done, and literally every time I run into her now, I don't recognize her. Every time. I don't know who she's talking about.
Oh, do you believe or Jennifer Grey. Nobody recognizes Jennifer Grey anymore.
Yes.
Ever since she had that nose job. Got rid of her trademark.
You don't know that's what it was. Okay.
What? I think she admitted to as much.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
That it ruined her career when she got the nose job.
All right. I left my nose, as you know, in Chicago.
Yes, you did. I left my spoon
literally
in San Francisco.
20 minutes after
where'd
the
you leave your hair?
I just had my hair Japanese spring yesterday. Isn't it beautiful?
It's shiny.
So desu ka.
Thank you. 20 minutes after the hour, back with more on the healthcare debate as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
May cause dizziness, sexual nightmares, and sleep crime.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Please pray for me. I was the black sheep of the family. Too much wine and too much song. Wonder how I got along. We had joy, we had fun. We had seasons in the sun. But the wine and the song like the sea.
Speaking of which, I'll be going to visit my Republican family in North Carolina tomorrow.
But the wine.
Actually kind of a grayish sheep now because my sisters are both Obama mamas. My mom and my brother. Oh, dear.
Well, you cover up that gray pretty well.
24 minutes to the hour. 1-800-STEP. Steph 12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jeff in Atlanta on healthcare. Hi, Jeff. Hello, Jeff.
Yes. On the call that was asking about the, you know, whether or not as a business employee, if they go to these public options healthcare plan, maybe they would, you know, businesses would begin offering less.
To stop offering healthcare? Yeah.
Well, or offer you less. And the first point is that if it's true, it doesn't matter, because as an individual, as an employee, what matters to you is not the dollar value of your health care compensation, but what you face in terms of quality of coverage and the cost out of pocket when you have care. So the dollar amount is not an equitable form of compensation like real pay. And number two, if you have your own plan, like say a public option, et cetera, then you have the freedom to be more picky in your employers. You're not simply tied to one employer mm-hmm. or not, and there's competition among employers to offer you other less risky, you know, and more maybe financial, more directly useful compensation.
Yep, I hear you. Okay. Senate Democrats yesterday took the first major step toward a sweeping overhaul of the healthcare system, pushing legislation despite strenuous GOP opposition.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Chris Dodd said this is about as historic as it gets for all of us. He's overseeing the proceedings in place of yes. Ted Kennedy.
You can't score a product that you haven't really developed, and that's what we're doing here.
By the way, he made a really good point. Reverend Jim Wallace, author of God's Politics, is on with us a lot talking mm-hmm. about what are actual moral issues.
Yes.
Chris Dodd said yesterday, no issue is more of a moral imperative. In the richest nation on the face of this earth, you shouldn't have to be well off to get well. Mm-hmm. To which I say, here, here. I love Mitch McChinless. We haven't had, and by the way, his government plan would give him a new lip, but he just hasn't opted to get one. However, he said, once again, it's Russian spend and a tidal wave of debt. Rush? How much longer are we going to wait for health care in this country? Yeah. Oh, now we're rushing to get health care for people. All right. Senator Patty Murray, Democrat of the great state of Washington.
Well, I'll tell you what costs too much. What costs too much is the status quo. $2 trillion a year that we spend in this country every year.
Well, how many are in?
On health care.
Actually, a lot of it is spending on a bureaucracy.
Yeah.
People creating mountains of paperwork in the attempt to deny people coverage.
By the way, the Boner has introduced a shiny new Republican health care plan, which, much like his shiny new budget, has no numbers in it of any kind. He's
kind of stupid. He didn't learn the first time.
They've been attacking Democrats for the cost of the plan, but they declined to offer any details on how much their blueprint would.
R has no cost. There's no numbers in there, so it's free, clearly.
The Boner said, as we proceed down this path, we have to be careful not to impede what works in the current system. We take the current health care system and make it better for all Americans. You know what the hell Republican plan is, essentially. It is simple. And it
For God's sake, just die.
Get out of the damn health care system. You're clogging it up.
If just the sick people would just die already, and then the rest of us could be healthy.
Boner urged the president
to
take a close look at the plan, but said he was under no illusions they would do so. From everything we've seen so far, they've ignored our better solutions. What? What is your better solution? What? 28 minutes after the hour, right back with Representative John Yarmuth of Kentucky as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Forget it, Mike. Without actually seeing it.
Stephanie Miller's
ass, this is just radio.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Well, you knew it wouldn't be long before some Republican whipped out the H word on health care.
This just is deja vu all over again, as I said. I mean, this is Hillary Care Plus. I mean, this is a... This is the elite of the elite deciding how everybody else is going to get health care in this country.
Look, moron.
Meaning more people.
Yeah, that was Senator Judd Gray.
Yes, Republican of New Hampshire. If only we had a clear thinker on this.
Well, I've dodged that bullet. Hey, from the great Commonwealth of Kentucky, it's Representative John Yarmuth.
Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
I am good. How do you even respond to Hillary Care Plus? What does that mean?
I have no idea. But, of course, the important thing to remember is that, that Harry and Louise, the people that were used to destroy health care reform 15 years ago, are now in their late 50s, and one of them doesn't have health care, doesn't have health insurance, because he lost his job, and he's now in that gap between where he's not eligible for Medicare. So he's out in the woods, and that's what we're trying to help fix.
I heard Bill Press had a great idea the other day. He said we need to get them and have them do a new commercial and say, we were wrong.
That's right. Well, they actually are doing that. They are doing that.
Are they really?
Yes, they're out there saying, we were wrong.
That's the thing is, I think that, you look back at that debate and you think, this is how long, Congressman, we've been trying to get health care in this country. We've really been trying to get some sort of meaningful reform. Do you think it's actually going to happen this time?
Well, I think it is. I mean, there was a national poll last week that showed that 94% of the American people think it's very important or somewhat important that we do health care reform. And 68% of those said very important. The people want this, and the people need it, and the economy needs it. The one response I would give to Senator Gregg is that the people need a choice. Right now, they don't have a choice. Right now, most people have their health insurance determined for them by their employer or else by insurance companies who say, we won't cover you.
Mm-hmm.
What we're trying to do is to provide choice for them and competition for the insurance companies, because the option of doing nothing doesn't exist. And the alternative, the Republican alternative, is to let the insurance companies solve the problem, trust them to solve the problem when they are a lot of the problem.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Congressman, here's the problem. Is as you say, poll after poll show the American people want health care reform that is more liberal than even is on the table. And, you have people like Karl Rove saying stuff like this.
You cannot take a bill that is this expensive, this big, this radical, this dangerous, this problematic for the American economy, and try and rush it through without all of these things causing even the most devoted advocates of nationalizing health care to sort of, take a deep breath and say, are we doing the right thing?
Well, Frank Luntz, the Republican pollster and message guru, put out a memo a few weeks ago, and it basically said the following: we have no choice on this issue but to try and keep the Democrats from getting the most important political victory they could ever win. So at all costs, we are going to oppose that. We're going to call it government takeover. We're going to call it, all the things that you just mentioned, the Hillary Care. Anything we can do to stop it is what we need to do, because the American people will want this, and if the Democrats are successful, we're dead forever. I mean, that's basically what the memo said.
Right, right. Howard Dean says that we don't need Republican votes. We can even lose, a couple of Democratic votes, and we should just get this done. This is what the American people want. What's your take on that?
Well, I think that's exactly right. We have to get it done. It is not only a moral imperative, it's an economic imperative. The American people, even though the polls that show that the American people, a great percentage of them, are satisfied with their insurance, that's only because they don't have an option. They're satisfied that they have it, but everybody's insecure. Everybody knows that a cancer diagnosis or a pink slip is that one step that separates them from ending their life, basically, either literally or figuratively.
Mm-hmm.
And we know 62% of bankruptcies involve health care costs. I mean, we face an unsustainable future in health care if we don't act now.
You raise a good point, Congressman, is I think the bar is so low on health care in this country that you're right. If you are not one of the 50 million that don't have it, you're like, oh, it's fine.
Yeah.
At least I have it.
Exactly. And we know, for instance, I mean, I think it was just 2 years ago, the last figures, that 80 million people at one point during the year didn't have health insurance. So it's not just the ones who are permanently uninsured. We know that people are in and out of the system, and the most important, and it's cost, whatever they have is costing them more and more and more. Employers are saying this is unsustainable. We can't continue to pay our benefits for our employees. We know it makes companies uncompetitive in the international economy. General Motors, Chrysler, evidence enough of that. So this is mandatory on so many levels that we just have to act. And I know that we're committed to acting. I think the Senate is as well. On the House side, we don't need 60% of the votes. We just need 51%, and we'll get that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Senate is and the administration.
And I'm hearing
willing to use their tactics to get if they need to use what's called reconciliation to avoid having to get 60%, they'll do it.
And Congressman, I'm hearing that there'll be perhaps a ruling in the Al Franken case today, which, you know, who knows what that'll mean, but it could be good news for health care.
It could be. He would be the 60th Democratic vote. And again, I'm not so sure that's all that significant, because we can't necessarily count on every Democratic vote to vote for cloture, but we can, I think, guarantee that we're going to have more than 50 votes for health care reform in the Senate. And again, I'm involved in message for our side in this, and all I keep admonishing our members is, don't lose your nerve. The American people, we're on the side of the angels here. The American people overwhelmingly want us to act. And the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Yes,
really.
I have speculated that I hope whatever health care we get includes a spinal transplant for some Democrats. Not you, my friend, however. I need you to help me. I take on the right wing every day on TV and on the radio. How do you respond to a Mark Levin?
What Obama is doing, intentionally so, is trying to wreak havoc on the private sector, trying to create as many drones of society as possible. That is, people who have to rely on government for their basic, food, welfare, medicines, and so forth.
Well, how do you even respond to something like that?
Well, this is the talking point that won't end, and they've been using this forever. And I think we've seen enough evidence that total reliance on the private sector can dig you in a much deeper hole than anything else. And that's what we've done. And, the last administration essentially tried to privatize every aspect of government, including the military. And we saw what's happened with that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in very serious shape, and we've got to, we've got a balance. And the Obama administration is basically trying to do in every area what we're trying to do, and that is create a balanced system that has appropriate government regulation and oversight of the private sector. I mean, in all the energy legislation, in the healthcare legislation, the intention is to create competition and to stimulate competition and innovation. And the private system left to it, the private sector left to itself, doesn't necessarily do that in the way that benefits the most people.
Congressman, respond to one, and I apologize for subjecting you to the ridiculous right-wing talking points, but this is what you have to deal with. Mark Levin again on the doctor-patient relationship. Here we go. Mark Levin.
I'm going to target him through my radio show, as are other people, and we are going to chase them down politically and defeat them and expose their records. If any of these people have voted for these massive trillion-dollar deficits, and if they want to destroy the doctor-patient relationship and place some bureaucrat in Washington in lieu of that relationship, we are going to make that known, and we are going to defeat these people.
A little vaguely threatening. However,
It's
this, like you pointed out, the insurance company decides now, not your doctor. So how is that not, destroying the doctor-patient relationship?
Well, exactly. That's what Americans face every day, is bureaucrats in the insurance company denying care, canceling coverage, and making those decisions that definitely keep the doctor from doing what he or she wants
and
is necessary for
right.
you.
And if you have a pre-existing condition, Congressman, you can't even get to a doctor because you can't get coverage.
You don't have a doctor to have a relationship with.
Thank you.
That's exactly right.
Thank
Too many
you.
Of those.
Representative John Yarmuth, thank you so much for taking time for us this morning and for fighting the good fight on health care.
Okay, Stephanie. Good to be with you.
All right. There he goes. From the great state of Kentucky.
Commonwealth of Kentucky.
Commonwealth.
It's one of four commonwealths in the country.
Listen, Jim's just happy I didn't call him Congressman Vermouth, because I...
you called him Yarmuth earlier.
That's because I was still flustered from talking to Congressman
Congressman Raul Grijalva from the great state of Arizona.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
Woo! 43 minutes after the hour.
We have had a few mouthfuls for guests
this
morning.
Your mouthfuls.
I got another story coming up.
Uh-oh.
What's even worse?
All right. No. Does it involve Polish names?
No. All right. 43 minutes after. It has Iranian names. It's worse. 43 minutes after the hour. Right back with that on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Boris in Orange County on healthcare. Hey, Boris, welcome.
I got some of the money back.
Pardon me?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, are you making a drug deal? I'm sorry.
Trying to.
Just kidding. All right, Boris, go ahead.
Okay. Now, here's what everyone needs to know, and especially the retort to that guy that's wondering what to say.
Oh, if if there is a public plan option, will that mean that employers will stop offering insurance?
No. The operating cost of any corporation or any self-employed person is health care. You know, I listened to someone yesterday who said he was paying close to $600 a month for health care.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and the average self-employed person will pay anywhere from $16,000 to $14,000 a year, depending on the type of coverage you want and depending on the deductions.
Right.
And corporations, for example, probably pay upwards of 20% of their operating costs for health benefits. I know, for example, that my wife's school district pays close to $20,000 a year for her benefits to cover just three people, her, mm-hmm. me, and my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine if you can save 15% of that.
Yep.
What can you do with the extra money?
Yep.
Hire more teachers, get more books.
Yep, I hear you. I actually heard a right-wing radio host here in L.A. the other day saying bitching about that teachers are paid too much.
I have several friends who are teachers.
I think we can all agree that sports figures don't make nearly enough money, and teachers are grossly overpaid.
One of my friends quit being a lawyer in order to become a teacher. Mm. That's a bit of a step down in quality of life.
Kim in San Francisco on healthcare. Hey, Kim.
Hey, you guys. I was reading a magazine in my dentist's office that was about technology that's advancing and that is going to be changing our lives in the future.
Yes.
And everybody needs to understand that this is your one shot to get medical coverage, and that it is essential that we have something akin to a single payer, because new touchless technology is coming, and everybody, like your clerk at your local grocery store, if it's a chain, is likely a union member. We have toll takers up here in the Bay Area that also were union jobs that you could raise a family on. Pretty soon those toll takers are going to be gone. There's going to be a large segment of society that gets paid decently at this point that is not going to be employed anymore. This mm-hmm. is your last chance mm-hmm. to grab something.
I was just thinking, you know, as you're talking, Kim, I am trying to think, at least three of my closest friends, none of them have health insurance.
Okay, so
and it's worrying, even for, you know, I mean, just for friends, you're like, oh my God, like, what happens?
Yeah.
Well, they cross their fingers and they hope that they don't put themselves in poverty until they die.
Yeah.
I mean, the rest of the world is watching our country right now to see if we are too dumb to succeed, mm-hmm. that we're too dumb. This country is too
and they're going,
stupid.
They had George Bush as president for
right,
8 years.
We reelected him. So you know what, you guys? Grab it. This is your last chance. Also, when Obama was talking about people peacefully gathering in the streets,
yes.
I swear to God, I think he was sending us a message. Nonviolent, peaceful, civil protests. Hmm. I swear, if you watch his face while he's saying that, it's like he's saying, this is... I need you to...
This is how it gets done.
This is how it gets done.
Right.
There you go.
We respect that.
There you go. It was a coded socialist message, everybody.
Yeah,
all
socialist.
Right.
No, that's what the right wing's going to say,
I'm
though.
I'm kidding. Okay, that's... yes, by the way, how hilarious that... Sean Hannity has been yammering on about how the president doesn't want to meddle.
Yeah.
In Iran. Iran has accused the president of meddling.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is a big deal because we overthrew the democratically elected leader of Iran in 1953, which led to the Islamic Revolution, you know, generation later. So they're very serious about us meddling over there.
Right. Well, they've alleged for the first time Washington has fueled a bitter post-election dispute. Mm-hmm. Barack Obama, as you know, has reacted cautiously to the opposition allegations that Ahmadinejad stole the election, saying he shared the world's deep concerns, but it was not productive given the history of U.S.-Iranian relations. Thank mm-hmm. you, Jim. To be seen as meddling. Sean Hannity on this.
But here we have hundreds of thousands of people fighting for freedom and liberty in Iran, and they're taken to the streets, and we keep hearing these reports that people are dying at a pretty high level. President Obama says it makes no difference which side wins in Iran, and he says we have no business meddling. That was his term. But meanwhile, he didn't have any problems lecturing Israel and meddling into the affairs of Israel. What are your thoughts on his inability to stand up? If America doesn't stand up for the cause of freedom, who will?
Listen, Israel is our ally.
Yes.
We can talk to them the way we can't talk to the government in Iran. And if we are seen taking sides in the election, the person we're taking the side of is going to lose.
Yes, thank you. As the president said, we're a handy political football.
Yes.
Do you always get the feeling the president's just kind of one step ahead of most of us on a lot of this stuff?
He's at least a couple of steps ahead of Sean Hannity.
Oh, you think?
Yeah.
This is a little bit brighter?
A little bit brighter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can read texts from Mark Levin like nobody's business.
Sean Hannity can read from a teleprompter, too.
All right. By the way, the leading challenger to Ahmadinejad,
Mousavi.
Yes, he's Mousavi. Called for mass demonstrations today to mourn those killed in the protests. Tens of thousands of his supporters rallied yesterday in Tehran in the fifth day of demonstrations. Ahmadinejad said in a cabinet meeting yesterday that the poll was a referendum in which 25 million people confirmed this way of management in the country. Right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Right. The president yesterday.
Although there is amazing ferment taking place in Iran, the difference between Ahmadinejad and Mousavi in terms of their actual policies may not be as great as has been advertised. Either way, we were going to be dealing with an Iranian regime that has historically been hostile to the United States.
By the way, you know who the only one now that can solve this whole situation? That is Ashton Kutcher, who will be getting the Nobel Peace Prize. He is helping Iranians tweet. He's one of the celebrities that are helping them tweet.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. To help them get information out of the country during the media crackdown. He has more than 1 million followers, on the Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Ashton Kutcher does. He's been generating a lot of discussion about Iran. In response to whether the U.S. government should do anything, Kutcher tweeted, "Considering how well fighting for freedom in Iraq went, I don't know that we should be jumping into this Iran deal." Ashton Kutcher for president in 2000.
No.
Listen, the Iranian people got punked in the election, and he's helping. He said, "I think that truly the only people that can change things in Iran are Iranians themselves, and they seem to be speaking their minds now." He has joined the campaign to help protect those trying to get information out of Iran. He advised one tweeter to ask your followers to change their location and time zone to Tehran.
We mentioned that yesterday.
Yes, right. It's making it more difficult for the Iranian government to actually pinpoint who's genuinely tweeting from Iran or not.
And Mousavi was very smart in having people do a day of mourning, because that's what happened in the revolution in 1979. These days of mourning actually led to the overthrow of the Shah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Demi Moore is also joining the cause, but I don't think they care nearly as much about that in Iran as they do about Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah. You know what?
She doesn't have a reality show.
Yeah. The president said yesterday that Mousavi might not be a whole lot better than Ahmadinejad.
Well,
might be window dressing that looks different.
Yeah.
Yeah, the rhetoric is different. Yeah, I mean, they're not really in charge, the mullahs are.
Regardless of the outcome of what we're seeing, the United States still has two principal national interests as it relates to the Islamic Republic of Iran: the state sponsorship of terror and the support of terror, as well as their pursuit of a nuclear weapon.
All right, Grampy McSame yesterday, John McCain on the Iranian election.
This is a corrupt election. Everybody knows it. People are being killed and beaten in the streets of Tehran and all over Iran, and we should stand up for them.
By bombing them? Is that your idea?
I think that was his point.
Bomb Iran.
57 minutes after the hour. Stand Up News is next as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Don't forget, tomorrow, live in studio, comedian extraordinaire Carlos Alzraki in hour number one.
That's
and
right.
Comedian extraordinaire John Fugelsang in hour number three tomorrow. And coming up this hour on the Celebrity Hotline, Loris Korb, the Assistant Secretary of Defense under President Reagan.
That's right.
He will talk to us about the situation in Iran.
He's now with the Center for American Progress, so he's a progressive.
Uh-huh. He's a senior fellow and a Hale and Hardy fellow. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out.
Well met.
That's right. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. The Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, yesterday on the Iranian situation.
The people of Iran deserve the right to have their voices heard and their votes counted. The outcome of any election should reflect the will of the people. And it is for the Iranians to determine how they resolve this internal protest concerning the outcome of the recent election. But it is a fundamental value that the United States holds with respect to free and fair and credible elections.
And then she broke her elbow.
Yeah.
What is going on with all the president's women? I don't understand. Sonia Sotomayor broke her ankle?
Gwen Ifill broke her ankle on the way to something during the campaign?
Oh,
that's
right. I'm checking out the right-wing blogs today. There's some sort of conspiracy theory going on.
Some malfeasance.
Janet Napolitano. Accidents
what about
happen.
Kathleen Sebelius.
Oh.
Hey, you never know. Some guys or gals have problems sometimes.
It's a lot of accidents going on. Okay. Meanwhile, the president on economic reform yesterday.
We seek to create a framework in which markets can function freely and fairly without the fragility in which normal business cycles suddenly bring the risk of financial collapse.
And another day, another...
Wheel of right-wing hypocrites!
Senator John Ensign, Republican of Nevada, who is... very, very, very moralistic about President Clinton and Senator Craig.
Last year, I had an affair.
Uh-oh. Oh, dear.
I violated the vows of my marriage.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, golly.
It's absolutely the worst thing that I've ever done in my life.
As far as we know.
If there was ever anything that I could take back in my life, this would be it. I take full responsibility for my actions.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
And as Rachel pointed out, the interview was filmed right in front of a public restroom. So that was
unfortunate. In another, isn't it ironic, file? Yes. By the way, when he said the part about this is the worst thing I've ever done in my life, could I have some fun facts music, please? That resurrected this disclosure yesterday resurrected questions about a two-week period in 2002 when Ensign abruptly dropped from public view. Person familiar with that episode said the senator told a close associate the absence followed an earlier affair.
Oh, really?
So maybe this was the worst thing he's ever done. The other one, not so bad. The first affair.
Okay. You know how the woman he
allegedly
had the affair with and that woman's husband.
Oh, I'm getting to the Hamptons.
Okay.
No, did I say the name? Yes.
Was that their name?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Cindy.
It turns out their son was also on Ensign's payroll.
Cindy and Doug.
Yes.
Interesting.
They live in a very, very large mansion, a 12,000-square-foot mansion just minutes from the Ensign mansion.
In Las Vegas? Or in D.C.?
Hang on a second. I didn't know you were going to ask me this.
Or is it in the Hamptons?
I don't
know.
Is the Hamptons in the Hamptons? I don't know.
Ensign was in the Hamptons.
All right. Let's get to the important things.
It's one of the Hamptons.
Yay!
Cindy and her husband, Doug. Cindy Hampton, they released a statement saying it's unfortunate the senator chose to air this very personal matter, especially after the Hamptons did everything possible to keep this matter private. In time, the Hamptons will be ready and willing to tell their side of the story. Oh dear. Cindy Hampton, 46, received a promotion and a pay raise at one political entity controlled by Ensign and a pay raise at a second. Her husband, Doug, was an employee in Ensign's Senate office and a golfing buddy.
Wow.
Mm.
Interesting.
Yep, and their son, I believe he was 19, is on the payroll, too. I think there might have been a little bit of
malfeasance.
Yeah, financial malfeasance there.
Heavens to Betsy. Okay. All right, so we'll keep you apprised of the latest details in that unfortunate situation. Hey, you know what? We're on in the New York City now, and we have to congratulate New York. They've been named the angriest, most aggressive drivers in the United States.
Congratulations.
Yes, New York, you have overtaken Miami to be voted the U.S. city with the angriest and most aggressive drivers, according to a survey on road rage. Miami had topped the list for the last 4 years, but voters in 25 major metropolitan areas gave New York the prize for angriest, most aggressive drivers who tailgate, speed, honk their horns, overreact, and lose their tempers. New Yorkers were most likely to wave their fists or arms, they were most likely to lay on the horn, and they were most likely to make some sort of obscene gesture, said the head of the group that commissioned the study. I live there, I could have told you that.
That's the
first thing you do. Horn, obscene gesture.
I make a lot of obscene gestures here in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Dallas second, followed by Detroit, Atlanta, and then Minneapolis, St. Paul. Miami has dropped to a distance seventh. Talking on the cell phone, the behavior irked motorists the most. Driving too fast, tailgating, eating, and texting behind the wheel also causing stress and inciting road rage. Nearly 50% of the survey cite other drivers who frequently cut across the road without notice.
Yeah.
That's an L.A. thing, the five-lane thing, the five-lane drift in front of you with no blinker.
Yeah, while you're texting.
Oh, I think it's... Oh, that was the exit.
You know who's the worst at that? Whenever I see someone do that, I always look at their license plate. It always seems to be a person from Texas.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Texas people are the absolute worst drivers. Oh,
Detroit
God.
And San Francisco have the most text-happy drivers, while Miami won as the people that were most likely to shave, read, or put on makeup while driving.
Shave?
In Washington, here's another fun fact. In Washington, D.C., 4% of drivers admitted to slamming into another driver by way of...
On purpose?
Retribution, yes.
Oh, good.
I'll show you.
That's why insurance is so high.
All right. Let's check some other news we don't want to lose, shall we? Here we go.
Yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here, it's today's...
Were you texting while radioing?
I was just checking.
You
okay.
were texting while...
No, I was not.
Well,
that's a long intro, for God's sake.
Texting while DJing.
Do the intro again. You know how many texts I can get out in that time, for God's sake.
Yippee. It's time for stand-up.
Oh, fine.
My God.
President Obama says one television network... isn't which television network could that be, I wonder, is entirely devoted to attacking my administration.
The Food Network.
When the interviewer asked if Obama meant Fox News, the president didn't respond. Instead, he says the unnamed network seldom runs any positive stories about his White House. Obama says the network has a pretty big megaphone to attack his views. I believe we have Captain Phone Sex Bill O'Reilly on.
Here at The Factor, we've always known that there are those to whom reality is a burden and whose feeble minds reject the entire notion of actually dealing with it. I speak, of course, of the chosen one, Hussein Obama. Or should I say Osama, the snarling, incoherently wrathful, wildly flailing embodiment of the failure of the socio-fascistical revanchist Marxism and its putrid worst. Our blithering president can barely get two words out without drowning himself in the sea of his moonbat looniness. Unlike yours truly, he fails to see the pernicious degradation of the glorious purity of American civilization that his wretched imbecilic rantings and failed communistical policies have accomplished. Now, if we here at The Factor were cut from the same petty, vindictive, ad hominem attacking, falsely smearing, character-assassinating cloth as he is, we might be tempted to indulge in some baselessly accusatory, insidious, half-truth-spreading, duplicitously underhanded, smearing, rhetorical innuendo concerning the noisome, fetid, stinking high to high heaven, morally decomposed pestilence that is his presidency. But that's just not us. And Mr. Osama knows it. Which is what makes his veiled attack on Fox News and yours truly such a typical expression of far-left hate speech. Mr. Osama, pluck the watermelon out of your own eye before I tempt you to take the non-existent speck of dust out of ours. And furthermore, you have big ears. And that's tonight's Talking Points memo.
No.
Hmm.
no, you didn't.
Speaking of which, yeah. As I mentioned, another day, another...
Wheel of right-wing hypocrites!
Well, it's another day. It's another horribly racist Republican gets caught being horribly racist.
Oh, boy, what'd they do now?
Tennessee GOP Senate aide reprimanded for offensive Obama email. An email featuring, wait for it, a picture of two cartoon eyeballs. Where's my slide whistle? Set against a black background and meant to depict President Obama.
Oh, that's wacky.
Little googly cartoon eyes and it's a black.
I'm sure they meant nothing by it.
Uh-huh. Landed Republican Tennessee State Senate in hot water, but not on the unemployment line.
Oh,
no.
Really? She wasn't fired for this?
No. Sherry Goforth. Legislative aide to
be fruitful and multiply. Mm-hmm. No, don't.
No,
please, no, please don't. Just don't. No, stay there.
And
stay right
fact,
there.
No, don't speak.
She's a legislative aide to Republican State Senator Diane Black, ironically, was reprimanded but not fired for sending the image, which featured a succession of presidents in dignified and stately positions until the final picture of Obama. Oh, with the little eyeballs in the black. This seemed the most unnecessary sentence in the story, Chris. Goforth, who is white.
Oh,
you don't say.
Really?
Was issued a verbal and written rebuke. Goforth called it a bad decision and said she sent it to the wrong list of people.
Ah, well.
That's my favorite. I meant to only send it to other races like me. Oh, darn it. Okay, maybe they can get one of those, you know, the thing that stops you from drunk emailing? You
have to do it. Mail goggles.
Yes, you have to do a complicated math problem before you send something.
Yes.
There should be something like that so you make sure that you only send it to your list of other races. Something that helps you. Okay, Black defended her decision not to fire her, telling the newspaper, love this, that Goforth has always been a friend to people with black skin. Why don't we get the sense that she almost used a slur?
Yeah. Wait a minute. She referred to people with black skin?
Yes, she's always been a friend to them. Other than this one racist email.
Okay.
With the funny googly eyes on the black background. Mm. It's the presidency, because it's... Okay, we have... do we have Sherry?
Sherry Goforth and her public apology.
Oh, here is apology now. Here we go.
I deeply apologize for the way my email was interpreted by certain thin-skinned, politically correct, holier-than-thou, smarty-pants, inside-the-beltway, elitist, brain-cheese, party-attending, liberal, sodomite-loving, ivory-tower, miscegenating, commie-coddling America haters. I meant to set that email to the right list of people. God-fearing, gun-toting, anti-Semitic, racist, homo-baiting, French-heading, backwards, segregationist, homeschooled, xenophobic, hydrocephalic, Neanderthal, mouth-breathing, knuckle-draggers. You know, real Americans. And to my boss, Senator Pot Calling the Kettle Black, rest assured, I will put your strongly worded reprimand to good use. I intend to wipe my lily-white segregationist hiney with it. No questions.
That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward, Falderall.
Check out Jim Ward's apocryphal but true, for which there's a tile ad on the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com.
Thank you. 20 minutes after the hour. Situation, of course, in Iran getting worse by the day. We will give you all the latest as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Unfreaking believable.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Here we go. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800. Step 1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere.
Just doing the Tootsie Roll.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Slide, baby, slide.
I am sliding.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Jane in Kentucky on our guest this morning, Congressman Yarmuth. Hello, Jane.
Steph, I was wanting to get through before you got through with Doctor, with Representative Yarmuth. I'm a huge fan of his and of yours, but I wanted you to know that John Yarmuth used to have a very liberal newspaper here in town, and he debated on a regular basis John Ziegler. John Ziegler was on a radio station in town that carries Rush Limbaugh. and they were on a TV station about once a week.
Oh, they.
My... And he would just wipe the floor with me.
Why did I guess that was the next sentence? All right, Jane. Thank you, honey. Thanks for that. All right. Yes, sir.
A little bit of breaking news.
Yes,
Chris. A Continental Airlines pilot has died in mid-flight. Jeez. Yeah. Continental Flight 61 is okay, and the first officer is in control, and they're in the process of landing that plane.
Wow.
Yikes.
You know why there's always something terrifying like that? Because I'm flying tomorrow.
You're flying to, North Carolina tomorrow.
That's why there's a co-pilot.
Yes.
Or first officer.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Wow.
At least I'm not driving there with someone from Texas. Jim in Wichita, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Thanks, Steph. I'm calling, from Kansas about how bad Texas drivers are. And, you know, I drive through there, three times a year, and I get carpal tunnel giving those people the finger.
Yes.
All right, thank you.
Texas drivers are always the worst. I don't know why.
Bob in New Orleans to explain why that email was not racist that featured Barack Obama as just little googly cartoon eyes against a black background. Hello, Bob. Hello, Bob.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I'm sorry to miss out on Bob's thoughts on that.
Yes, he's going to have to call back.
Okay. Ken in Wisconsin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on our friend David Schuster. Hello, Ken.
Good morning, Miss Miller.
Good morning.
Earlier you were talking about people who were lifting your ideas, and yesterday David Schuster was using a screaming lady sound effect.
Oh, well, I didn't write that, but okay. Damn you, David Schuster.
You know what, though? That is a very, very common sound effect available in a lot of sound effects libraries. So
no.
Yeah, it is.
I wrote that.
You did the Foley on that?
David Schuster, don't come for my slide whistle tonight. If I see that, I... Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go to...
So he didn't steal anything.
Jay in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on healthcare. Hey, Jay.
Stephanie and the sensuous MOOCs.
Yes.
That lady you had call back, I think about maybe six callers ago, she had the perfect idea. We have got to scare the bejesus out of the Republicans and hit the streets if we want healthcare, because they are going to try to kill it by 1,000 paper cuts, you know, pseudo change, some crap about co-op health insurance or something. This is ridiculous. Give the American people health care now.
All right, Jay, I got it, because Jay says so.
Yeah.
Drew in Jersey on healthcare. Hey, Drew.
Yeah, hi, Steph.
Hi, go ahead.
Well, you know, they're talking about all this paperwork that insurance companies have to fill out. You know, a lot of the health care costs are because the doctors have 15 people filling out paperwork just to try to get things through to the insurance company.
Right.
And, you know, I know a lot of doctors that actually have stopped taking insurance because they can get rid of the majority of their staff, just keep a receptionist, an assistant, a nurse, and themselves. And I think that lowers the price of their treatment. They just, you know, let the insurance company deal with it if you're insured.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Well, you know, as I mentioned, the Boner came out with the Republican health care plan, which has no numbers of any kind. It doesn't say what the cost would be.
Right.
But it is much simpler, and there is less paperwork because it's very simple.
Oh, for God's sake, just die.
Yeah, right. That's what Republicans want you to die.
That's it, because there's only one sheet of paper. It's a death certificate, and then you're not clogging up the healthcare system anymore. Done.
Okay. Reduces costs.
That's why there's no numbers. It costs nothing. The Republican plan. 28 minutes after the hour. Lawrence Korb, he's a senior fellow, you know, at the Center for American Progress.
Another senior fellow?
And he was Secretary of Defense under Reagan.
Secretary of Defense.
Yes, we'll talk to him about Iran next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gorgeous day, Mr. Sun.
It's always a nice day with
Stephanie Miller.
Uh-oh, more bad news on that Continental flight. They have to land in Newark. Oh.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, I kid.
We could land in the Hudson or in Newark.
We
kid. Toss up.
We kid our friends in Newark. The Continental flight is safe, even though the pilot technically... Well, he died.
Marto.
Okay. Yeah. All right. But the co-pilot is fine in their landing. All right.
Yes. That's got to be freaky, though. I mean, how do you tell the passengers?
Yeah.
How
do you think he did that, Jim? Ladies and gentlemen, that'd be like the scene in Airplane. Does anyone know how to fly a plane?
Yeah.
We're sorry to bother you. 33 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEF-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Of course, the more protests, the fifth day in a row, I believe, of protest in Iran. If only there were an expert of some sort. My, yes, Jim, who is
hey,
it?
Hey, it's that senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, Lawrence Korb.
Good morning, Larry. Thank you so much for taking time for us.
Nice to be with you again.
You too. So, give us your take on what is what's happening in Iran. This is day number five. They're having a day of mourning. What is your take on what happens next?
Well, I think what happens next is that the regime that really runs the place has been undermined, and they're going to have to make some compromises, like they're going to have a recount, which is the first time they've ever done that, you know, since the clerics took over back in 1979. And basically that will mean that they're going to have to pay more attention to the people. I mean, up to now what has happened is that they have pretended that, you know, they had these elections and then they pretended that they had to ensure the candidates were the ones they wanted, because if they didn't, the great Satan being us, you know, would undermine them. But now the interesting thing is the people are not demonstrating against us. This is the first time, whenever you look at these previous demonstrations, always against us. Now it's, you know, against the regime. And, you know, I think that it's going to be, you hope it doesn't end up in a Tiananmen Square moment.
Yeah.
But I don't think it will, because there's no way that the Iranians can buy off the people like the Chinese did, you know, with economic development, because their economy is a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And
Lawrence, you know, it's interesting. We've got, you know, our friends like Sean Hannity saying, the president doesn't want to meddle. And then we have Iran saying, we are meddling. So how what is your take on how the president
is
handling this?
Well, the president has to play it, I think, the way he has. He has to condemn the violence and, you know, urge them to have a fair election. But he can't be picking winners. I mean, if he comes out for Mousavi, then the regime can say, well, he's the U.S. candidate. And it's very easy when you're not in government to, you know, to make these statements. But just like the first Bush administration realized, you know, after Tiananmen Square was over, you still needed to deal with the Chinese economically, with nuclear weapons, North Korea.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have to deal with that, you know, that regime there, because we have a lot of issues, not just the nuclear issue. We've got Afghanistan. We've got Iraq. We've got the, you know, Israel and Palestine. So I think the president is playing it just right.
Yeah. Well, you know, and this is what Howard Dean and I believe John Kerry said yesterday. You know, Howard Dean said for the United States to overtly interfere would be a big mistake. Our government's doing exactly the right thing. John Kerry said if we want to actually empower the Iranian people, we have to understand how our words can be manipulated and used against us to strengthen the clerical establishment. He said we can't escape the reality that for reformers in Tehran to have any hope for success, Iran's election must be about Iran, not America. I venture to say they know more about a little more nuance in foreign policy than Sean Hannity does.
Well, you know, as I say, I mean, it's very easy to just make these statements. But, you know, if you travel abroad, like I just spent 10 days in Pakistan, every time somebody in our country, particularly somebody in a position of power, says something, it's played all over the media. And you may remember that Secretary Clinton had to really apologize for something she said about the Pakistanis, all they cared about was the Indians, you know, and how to recognize that part of their problem is our fault. So I think you have to be very, very careful, because that will be played over there. And, you know, they've already called in the Swiss ambassador, I guess, who handles our affairs in Tehran, to tell him that, hey, the United States is meddling.
Right. Well, you know, when we have people like John McCain saying we've got to stand up for them, what does he mean? What are we supposed to do exactly? I mean,
Again, it's easier said than done. And I think the president's got to condemn the violence. And
which he
I
has, right.
Yeah, which he has, and say, you know, we want a, you know, an open election. But again, you got to remember that the regime picked these candidates. This was not anybody who wanted to run. Mousavi has become kind of a symbol, but this guy was the the prime minister for the Ayatollah who took over in 1979.
Yep.
I think you need to keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm. You know, as someone that was the Assistant Secretary of Defense under Reagan, it must crack you up, you know, to see this is their hero, of course, on the right, that they quote, you know, every other second Ronald Reagan. And, you know, and thing after thing, I mean, you know, they played the clip of Reagan saying, I'm a citizen of the world, just like Obama did. He talked about getting, you know, nuclear weapons down to zero. When Barack Obama even talked about reducing them, they screamed. I mean, how is it they keep, you know, the tax rate was higher under Reagan, and you know, when they're screaming socialism now.
Oh, sure. I mean, and they forget, for example, that when Reagan began negotiating with Gorbachev, my boss, the late Cap Weinberger, was very upset. Newt Gingrich called Reagan Neville Chamberlain.
Yep, Nazi appeaser, right.
And Reagan, you know, when we realized we had made a mistake in Lebanon, we got out. And, you know, Reagan called it redeployment, but still, you know, we left. And because he was smart enough to recognize that sometimes you make mistakes, and the worst thing you can do is keep doubling down and, you know, make it worse.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, they selectively, you know, pick from Reagan. And that's why, remember, during the campaign, Obama praised Reagan.
Yeah. Well, he's looking in some ways more and more like him. I mean, the latest example, you know, of course, the House approved this war bill with the International Monetary Funds in it, which, you know, of course, is less than 5% of the bill. And Steny Hoyer said just the other day, we heard so many people say what a great leader Ronald Reagan was. Ronald Reagan said the IMF is the linchpin of the international financial system. I mean, they really do selectively use their Reaganism, don't they?
Well, that's right. And, you know, it's interesting. Reagan, when he came in, he said he was going to get rid of the Department of Education and he was going to get Department of Energy. Not only did he not get rid of them, he added a cabinet agency. So, I mean, people forget that. I mean, because when he left, there were 12 cabinet agencies because he allowed the Veterans Administration, which had been an administration, to become a department.
Mm-hmm. Lawrence, how do you respond to, I don't know, our friends on the white, people like Monica Crowley on Iran?
Obama, as the president of the United States should be, we're not asking for bombs, we're not even asking for humanitarian aid. What they are asking for is a statement of moral clarity.
that's what the Muslim world really wants more of, is an American president moralizing to them, don't you think?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting when I've talked to some folks in Iran, and I was just over at Israel, you know, obviously they were concerned about Iran, and there was a young man there, a Jewish fellow who had been born in Iran, and his family left to come to Israel, and I was talking to him, and he said, yeah, you know, it's going to happen if you guys start talking about the election being cooked, they'll bring up 2,000.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
So I think, you know, you have to be very, very, very careful. And then, you know, I think the fact that people both on both sides of the aisle are upset at Obama shows he's playing it just right.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, here's the thing that the right tends to do is these straw man arguments. He says that, oh, people say, and no one has said this. He talks about that, like the president is saying, we should abandon those who want democracy.
I am frankly incredulous that anybody should say we should abandon our advocacy for free and fair elections anywhere in the world, much less Iran, which is ruled by Muslim clerics who are obviously extremists.
How do you argue that, Lawrence, when no one said we should abandon democracy?
Well, again, we haven't. And, you know, again, with all due respect to Senator McCain, the election was not a free and fair election. I mean, that's another thing. You know, they picked the candidates.
Right.
And so, you know, and I think what had two things happen, and Obama should get credit for this, when he gave that speech in Cairo and Hezbollah lost, the clerics panicked. And they were darn, if they felt if Mousavi won, this would also, you know, sort of vindicate Obama. They didn't want that to happen. And that's why they, you know, overreacted. And, I mean, they cooked the books so much that it led to, you know, these riots.
Well,
and after all, they
right.
had, you know, Ahmadinejad winning in Mousavi's hometown by 2-1.
I know. I mean, well, because I think the speech in Cairo really did resonate, don't you think? I really think we are starting to win some hearts and minds. I think that's why, like you said, Al-Qaeda's panicking. They're putting out tapes because, you know, the president is making really important points to the Muslim world, like that Al-Qaeda is killing more Muslims than anybody else.
Well, he is. And they see, they worry about him. And it's very interesting. You know, Obama gave his first interview on Al Arabiya television right after he got in. And the head of, guy who runs it's a good friend of mine. I remember during the campaign we talked, he said, you know, if you elect Barack Hussein Obama, it's going to undercut this narrative about the United States. You know, I mean, it's going to be very hard for them to say, look at the United States, what kind of country they are.
Yep. He said the two most important... Right. He said the two most important things, we do not seek permanent bases, right, in Iraq or Afghanistan. And, by the way, Al-Qaeda is killing more Muslims. I mean, that is a message that goes right to the heart of the Muslim world, doesn't it?
Right. It sure does.
Yep. Larry Korb, I love you because you're smart and you make me feel smart, even though that is not the case. Thank you so much for taking time for us from the Center for American Progress. We appreciate it.
Anytime.
All right, there he goes. He's a senior fellow, you know.
Yes, he is. He's very smart.
He just said, that's right. And I'm going to replay that tape all day.
Oh, boy.
All right.
And I love that he said Cap Weinberger. You know, his boss, Cap Weinberger.
My boss, Cap.
Yes.
All right. 43 minutes after the hour. Oh, dear. You know me, biggest animal lover in the world. Don't know if I'm with PETA on this one. We'll tell you what.
Yeah.
We continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We're an unusual family.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. I can't make it down. I can't make it down. So get down your feet and jump around. Jump around. Jump around. Jump around. Jump up and get down.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm here to get down. 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH. 1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere.
You are such a white girl.
Mm-hmm. Word. Scott in Los Angeles on healthcare. Hey, Scott.
Hey, guys. Another beautiful day in L.A.
Yoo-hoo! I love L.A.
Good to talk to you guys. Mm-hmm. Do we have a socialist legal system?
Do we have a socialist legal system? Is this a trick question?
No. We're entitled to have a lawyer, because we can't afford a lawyer.
Right.
So you can get a public lawyer, yes.
Well, I don't want to know why is that any different.
Well, but they'll sleep through most of the trial. But, yes, technically you can get one.
Stop.
Okay, but the medical system, I feel like it should be the same thing. I mean, you know, you're at a time of need that you need somebody. It's better than nobody. The government, you know, we should have a medical system.
That's a very good point.
Yeah. No, I think I agree. I think that's what I've always said. It's a right. It's not a privilege, you know?
He has a very good point. You get a public lawyer when you need one. Why can't you get a public doctor?
Your house is burning. You call the fire department as it comes, right? Okay, Joe in Boston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on healthcare. Yes. Hello.
Stephanie, it's great to have you back on the air in Boston.
We are thrilled to be back in Beantown. Go ahead.
Yes. Similarly to what this fellow was saying, you know, the basic question in the healthcare system that never seems to be asked is, what is the need for insurance? What value does insurance play? How does insurance help our healthcare system? It doesn't. It just gives them money. And since they bought and paid for just about everybody in Congress, the debate is not about whether we need insurance. The debate is only about what kind of insurance can we get for everybody.
Yeah.
So it's one step removed from reality, like almost everything else.
Yeah, well,
and,
you know,
I was for Kucinich, and, of course, he disappeared because the press wouldn't even cover him.
I know.
And everybody else, all they talk about is, what kind of health care system can we get for people? And they mean health insurance. It's not health care.
Yeah,
and the last fellow was right. I was a lawyer, and people can get a lawyer when they need one because it's part of their constitutional rights. But pursuit of happiness and life liberty doesn't include your health, I guess.
Yeah, I guess life would seem to be the operative thing there. you know, Kathleen Sebelius, I thought, explained it last week. Americans need a government-sponsored insurance plan to guarantee choice and competition, especially in rural areas. She said, what the president feels is important to have some competition and to have choice. That's what I don't understand. I thought they were really all for competition and then blah, blah, on the right. All right. Little squeezy story. Jim?
Yes?
The headline is, Busty Barmaid Prepares for Topless Skydive.
Hey, now.
Because I know you haven't planned your vacation yet. It's coming up in a week.
Where do you fit the harness if you're that busty?
Now, did you see her picture?
Oh, yeah.
She's a little she's busty.
Yeah,
there you go.
I saw her.
Oh, okay. Busty barmaid Charlotte Robinson is gearing up for a skydive with a difference. The 24-year-old will jump from a turbine porter aircraft topless. She
the aircraft will be topless?
No, she will be topless. She will be strapped to the front of an instructor. Probably a lot of guys signing up for that job. But
hold on to you here. So you
She will free fall at more than 120 miles an hour before the parachute opens. She said, I don't know if I'll hurt myself. I might do because I'm 36 double G.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Wear goggles.
She said... She said, I'm just a bit mental, really. And
I'm really totally mental, I must say.
And definitely outgoing. All right.
Yes.
All right, then.
And not shy.
Okay. All right. You know me. I'm the biggest dog lover in the world because I have I rescued a new puppy, Oliver. Mommy's new puppy, Oliver. He's a
Oliver!
He's a four-month-old Tibetan Mastiff, a Great Pyrenees mix. Mama's boy.
Oliver!
All right.
Who still craps in the house.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Well, pet expert Warren Eckstein came to my house, and we're starting to work with him, and then he'll be back next week to help
and
me
in
out.
The meantime, he's probably crapping in the house right now.
He's helping him feel yesterday, better. Yeah, but he's been... No, he gets the dog door. I think he just thinks it's good to go anywhere. It's just good. Because when he goes outside the dog door, he goes, good boy. So I think he just thinks the act of going is good. Right. It doesn't really matter where.
It's even better if it's in the house.
He thinks going as much as possible is good.
Do you reprimand him when he goes in the house?
Yes, I'm doing the new Warren Eckstein technique. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Do you spank him?
No. Huh. Okay. Right. Ugh, you are so 1950s. No. What, do you still chase your dog with a rolled up newspaper? Dear God.
I give my cat a bop on the nose when he attacks my ankle.
Yeah, you spray him with water.
No, I gave up on that because he started to like it.
All right, so normally, you know, I'm with PETA, but the headline is PETA wishes Obama hadn't swatted that fly.
Oh, come on.
Come on. Yeah, you know, you saw that, what do you call it? He did a little Bruce Lee move on a fly. Come on. The group for the people.
That's exactly what it sounded like.
See, if he hadn't, that would have been all over. That would have been on what the Fox, all like 24/7, that the president is socialist and French and gay because he didn't swat the fly. But, you know, he went
on. He got it on the first try, which was so awesome.
Went on Bruce Lee on a test.
That's our new sound effect for Obama.
Yeah. PETA wants the fly swatter in chief to try to take a more humane attitude.
Oh, God.
It's a fly!
We support,
they spread disease.
It's not a mammal.
We support compassion for even the most curious, smallest, and least sympathetic animals. We believe that people, where they can be compassionate, should be for all animals.
The fly was just being curious, huh?
I
say crush the curious bastard.
You know,
I have sent some money to PETA, but I'm saying, but I killed a black widow spider the other day.
You bastard.
So, yeah. And
I have a summertime question.
What?
Here in L.A., we don't get, here's some fun facts on L.A., because, you know, back east, I'm used to getting the mosquitoes and the gnats and the...
Yeah, we don't get them here.
Yeah, we do.
No.
We get mosquitoes.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We get bees here. How do you get rid of bees? That's what, every time you have outside, you eat outside, we get bees. What's the deal? Well, how do you get rid of bees?
Are you talking about bees or yellow jackets?
I've never asked one.
You don't know the difference between a bee and a yellow jacket?
I'm going to say yellow jacket. Why? What's the difference?
Oh, boy.
Because, you know, all the things they sell are like mosquito things.
Right.
Mosquito candles, mosquito
zapper.
Which
we don't have here.
Yes.
Well, I get mosquitoes.
How do you get rid of bees?
I'm not going to figure out what that is. But the thing is, what we would do, my dad and I, when we were hiking in Kings Canyon a million years ago,
yes,
we'd set out a plate for the yellow jackets so they wouldn't bother us while we're eating. They have
their own. Oh, so make them their own meal.
Yes.
So you like fill a plate with like sugar water or something.
Right, or, you know, a little bit of what you're eating. So
how do you know they won't go for both?
Well, it distracts them long enough that you can eat.
Okay. All right, let's go to Todd.
But those
and,
aren't bees.
All right. Todd in Georgia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, I think you need to treat healthcare like a, like just infrastructure, like roads, like bridges. Like, I mean, we have the CDC. We have all these, you know, state funds already pay for medical schools.
Socialism!
where they do all the research and all everything anyway. I mean, it just should be part of that. I mean, like a power line or, you know, that's just how it is.
Yep, I hear
you.
I
mean, it's got to be better for the country if everybody's doesn't have to worry about it. And, my God, how much money do we pay? I guarantee you if you added up the cumulative amount that people pay for health care, it would be so much more than it would actually cost. And if you could sell it that way, you know, well, it costs this much now with what you pay, but you could have the same system with where we figure out how to work in competition. You know, I don't understand why it has to be for profit. Who cares about insurance companies?
Exactly.
Well, yeah, thank you.
Republicans are always screaming about higher taxes, but if you're paying $600 a month for health care, paying a little more tax for having everyone covered, you're going to save money.
Right. Exactly. By the way, they passed the war funding bill. And just one question, Jim. Why do Republicans hate the troops so much? Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Because
Jim Clyburn said, I think we have a lot of selectivity going on when it comes to funding our troops. Harry Reid said, it'll be interesting to see what happens here. Are my Republican colleagues going to join us to fund the troops? I hope so.
I don't think so.
And he also said, this will be the last time we have to do this because President Obama is honest with his budgeting. This will be the last supplemental. Which, by the way, we've spent $1 trillion with about 70% going to Iraq on supplementals. The money that just, it's not even, wasn't even part of the budget.
Wow.
All right. That's it for us today. We will see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.